I love these members that get up and say, read the bill. What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages and you don't have 2 days and two lawyers to find out what it means after you read the bill?
Change has come to America.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to July 28th, 2009 PID Radio. Why, that means we can spell. PID spells.
M-O-O-N spells moon.
It stands for Peering Into Darkness, of course, and we can read. And you know what? We don't need a lawyer to tell us anything that we have written.
And
therefore, if the lawmakers need someone to take 2 days to explain to them what the bill means, it means someone else wrote it, like maybe the political action committee lobbyists,
right? Yeah, this is an astonishing thing. The quote you heard at the beginning of the program is John Conyers, who is the ranking Democrat on the House Health and Human Services. Anyway, we'll post a link to that video so you can see it for yourself. But it's astonishing that he would actually admit, and this is a guy who's been in Congress for years.
Yes.
To admit that, look, you got 2 days and a lot of legalese in there and 1,000 pages.
Isn't it really important that we pass this thing?
Yeah, that's
Does
really what's
really
important.
Matter what's in it?
Well, obviously not, seeing as how they've opened, left sections blank to be filled in after the vote. This section reserved. For what? Trust us, it'll be good.
Okay, wait a minute. These are lawyers who will argue over the tiniest... Okay, there's a comma here, mm-hmm. which therefore changes the meaning of this phrase. If there had been no comma, it would mean this. But because if they're looking at jot and tittles, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. to speak,
yep.
Putting in insert, save for later, placeholder for anything we want to put in later... And that they don't bother reading it, mm-hmm. I'm shocked.
And, of course, we're talking about the healthcare reform bills that are floating through various committees in the House and Senate. But when you go all the way back to 2001, over the last 8 years, the three pieces of legislation that have arguably changed this country more than almost anything else in the history of the United States, the Patriot Act, TARP, mm-hmm. the stimulus package, and now this healthcare reform bill are being pushed through Congress without our elected representatives having the opportunity to read them. And apparently committee chairmen who feel that reading the bills before they're voted on isn't even necessary.
Look, I've got a golf game later.
Yeah. Where's it, lobbyist? I'm thirsty. Oh, brother. Well, count it all joy because... all you can do is just try to vote your conscience the best you can and let the chips fall where they may. It's
Amen.
All going to wash out basically the
but
same way.
Bearing in mind, when those chips fall, you may have to pay taxes on them.
Yes.
Because we're now being told that those of us who perhaps aren't at ideal weight or BMI may have to pay taxes on any food we buy. It's the so-called fat tax. They're thinking about taxing food all over the country. There are mm-hmm. a lot of states, Indiana's one of them, that doesn't tax food items.
Right, which I think is a good thing. I mean,
yeah.
because it puts a disproportionate burden on lower income families.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get a family of four, two families of four in different income groups. They got to eat roughly the same amount of calories per day, which
exactly.
means they're going to pay roughly, depending on where they shop, but roughly the same amount of tax on those calories, but it's going to be a bigger percentage of the household budget of the lower income family. So I think, again, another argument for the fair tax, but that's another argument
for another
day.
It makes no sense because the truth is that there's no real evidence out there that people tend to be heavier because they eat more. If you weigh twice as much as the so-called mm-hmm. normal person, mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're eating twice as much.
No, it doesn't. There are genetic
Sometimes
components
it means you're
this.
Eating less.
Yeah, there are genetic components to this. So Right. It's a very simplistic way of looking at things.
It's a way of getting more money because they know good and well it doesn't matter if they tax the food or not. We still have to buy the food.
We still have to buy the food, right. And that's what it's all about. It's all about consolidating more power in the hands of the central government and then consolidating that power in the hands of a few at the global level. And that's ultimately where it's
like
going.
The way you're doing.
Yeah,
your
the little claw
right
look, yeah.
It's like Mr. Krabs.
Well, speaking of legislation and things that are, and by the way, it looks like the healthcare bill is at least off the table until after the recess. And
that's what they keep
saying.
It may
be dead even at that point.
You know, they keep saying that, but at the same time, there are stories coming out that we're still working on it. We're reworking it. We might get it in. We're going to try to stay here, you know, extra past the end. Excuse me, what are you guys really saying? It's like Obama wants to get it off the table. He wants people to stop talking about it. And in the meantime, they're going to rush it through.
He's spending all his political capital on this bill. And he may wind up wrecking the ship of his presidency upon these rocks. Because the American public really, really doesn't like this legislation.
No.
As a group, we can be kind of lazy, but as a group, we also don't like being told what to do by a central government. And maybe we've inherited enough of that from our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents that this will that he will founder on this reef. He probably politically, we'd be better served to back off, give it a rest, and work on building up a little more political capital. Because if you look at the Rasmussen Report's surveys on people who rate his presidency, rate his policies as you know, either strongly support or strongly oppose, his ratings are now at like what, a minus 12?
I mean,
in other
really
words,
bad.
12 percentage points more people, about 42% of Americans say they strongly oppose what President Obama is doing versus, say, 30% who say they strongly support what he's trying to do. And that's the first time he's been in –
He needs a diversion.
Yes, a diversion would be
it's
good.
It's the same kind of diversion, I'm sorry to say, that George Bush got in 2001.
Yeah,
Barack Obama would probably be relieved in some ways if something were to occur. And I'm not saying some sort of awful event like a terrorist event. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. It could be a scandal in Washington.
Something.
He needs some kind of major diversion
right.
That, again, in the background, they're not going to stop working on this.
No, that's true. But between this and the whole affair with you know, Professor Gates in Cambridge, you know, the Harvard professor who was arrested.
He tried to stir that up.
He really has.
He did. He intentionally. He knew that question in advance. He knew it.
He must have, because the reporter was a hometown reporter from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to know, because the White House now screens who's going to ask questions in advance. And I suspect they're also screening what questions will be asked. And that's why Helen Thomas is so cheesed. I mean, when she's saying that the Obama administration is more controlling in a bad way than the Nixon administration. I mean, Helen Thomas, who is as liberal a reporter as you will find, you know things are pretty bad for the Obama administration, for President Obama. But speaking of legislation, we'll mention this in passing because it's not really a surprise. The House has rejected a bill that would have defunded, taken taxpayer funding off the table for Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a for-profit organization. They don't call it profit. They call it, you know, some euphemism like, you know, revenues in excess of expenses.
Community organizing?
That's how they get all these revenues in excess of expenses. But what it means, if you look at their books, which they post in PDF form at the Planned Parenthood website, you'll see that they actually have a surplus of funds at the end of the year. In the real business world, this is what we call profit.
Mm-hmm.
And they make this profit because the American taxpayer kicks in a big chunk of money to the organization. About $350 million worth of government grants and contracts in the last year. Well, Indiana Representative Mike Pence proposed an amendment to a bill that would have taken taxpayer money away from Planned Parenthood. And, of course, the Democratic-controlled Congress shut it down. So,
well, supposedly NPR is funded by the American government, and, mm-hmm. and yet it has all these private donors, and still some stations that are NPR affiliates mm-hmm. run ads.
Yeah, that's true. It's
so. Is that not a profit-making venture?
Yeah, In theory,
I bet NPR
I think it would
is
like
really
to
cheesed
be,
about NBC getting to be, or is it ABC?
ABC getting the exclusive that night.
Yeah.
The night of the
wait a minute,
the
we're
session.
The official government mouthpiece.
Yeah, well, officially they are, but MSNBC actually is the de facto mouthpiece of the government. But even supposedly conservative publications like National Review, which is supposed to be like hard right-wing neocon conservative, and Glenn Beck, who's supposed to be this independent who slams Republicans and Democrats with equal vigor, are out there attacking anybody who dares question the eligibility of President Obama to hold office, because President Obama has yet to produce a genuine, authentic birth certificate to prove that he is a natural-born citizen, as he must be, according to the Constitution.
Look, there were questions about, drawing a blank here, the guy who ran against
John McCain,
because
thank
he was
born in the Canal Zone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There were questions about that. There have been questions about it's not a skin color thing. It has nothing to do with that.
No.
You know, if Hillary Clinton had been born in supposedly in Hawaii, and she just, when asked to, okay, well, can you prove that you were born, you know, in Hawaii after it became a state? Well, no, I don't have to show you anything.
Yeah, I think people would have said, no,
here's
wait a minute. Yes, you do.
Here's a little drawing of me when I was a little girl in Hawaii. See,
right.
Doesn't that look like Hawaii?
The certificate, the documentation that's been put forward by the president, or by his people anyway, is not the certificate that the state of Hawaii uses to verify that a child was born in the state of Hawaii. A certification of live birth means, yes, this baby was born and he is alive and now he's in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the certification that's been posted says.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the official certificate of live birth stamped and signed by a physician. That's what you need to prove that you were born.
Right.
In the United States.
That long form. And the hospital has admitted they never destroyed that. When
that's
they
right.
Digitized everything. It still exists.
Contrary to what Lou Dobbs' boss says.
Yes. In fact, speaking of Lou Dobbs, the Southern Poverty Law Center
right.
is calling for him to be fired.
Yeah, because the bizarre thing about all this is that Lou has gone on the air and said, I believe the president is a natural born citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But the American people have a right to see the documentation.
Yes.
If there's a question, let him prove it. And I would suggest that the activity, the decisions made by the president's team as regards this question are very telling. Doesn't prove that he's not an American citizen, but if they've got the certificate, the official certificate, why not produce it? They've spent more money on legal teams.
Look, the Real ID Act requires that you and I
right.
show our birth certificate,
yeah.
the real one, the one with the doctor's signature,
right.
when we get our driver's license.
In fact, and this is a funny story, I didn't have a copy of my birth certificate when I went to get my driver's license from the state of Indiana. I took a Xeroxed copy that didn't have the raised embossed stamp. It was, in effect, a certification of live birth, and I took it to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles office, and they said, "We're sorry, Mr. Gilbert, we cannot give you an Indiana driver's license. You must come back with a certified copy with the embossed."
Here's the thing:
I had to produce more proof to get a driver's license than Barack Obama has had to produce to become president.
But you had an official one from Missouri. Missouri had asked for that documentation, didn't you? Not.
No.
Oh, you didn't. See, I do. When we moved here, I had one from Missouri that had, because I had to show all of that documentation
right.
in Missouri.
No, I didn't have to do that, but I moved to Missouri in 1990. So between
now, this is when I renewed the last time.
Okay. No, I didn't have to do that.
Are you more trustworthy than I am? Oh, well, Mr. Gilbert, we like your face.
It's a Melungian thing, honey. I'm
Mrs.
really sorry.
Gilbert, your hair color keeps changing from picture to picture. We're not sure who you are.
So anyway, we didn't mean to get down that that rabbit trail.
Yeah, we did.
But again, I think the irony is that National Review, again, supposedly a real conservative newspaper, Glenn Beck, conservative, painted as a right-wing hate monger by the left, are you know, defending the president on this particular issue. And I think
there's no reason why he should not produce that.
Unless we're ready to go back to the divine right of kings. He's the president. He doesn't have to tell us anything.
Well, is there not? I know that this is in there every, just about every term, but is there not legislation that's been introduced again? Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of term limits. We don't want those nasty things.
Right. As far as the presidency goes.
Yeah.
And there was an email that went around, made the rounds on the internet. They're trying to make Obama the king by removing the two-term limit on the presidency.
Well, they did the same thing with Clinton.
They did the same thing with Clinton, but it's also been introduced during the administrations of both presidents Bush. So, you know, it's not unique to Barack Obama. Some congressman keeps introducing it and keeps getting shunted off to a committee where it dies in committee. So I guess there probably are a number of bills like that, like the Patriot Act, which was written prior to 9/11 and was just sort of sitting in a back pocket of some legislator somewhere until they needed to pull it out.
And it was probably passed mostly unread, even though it had
exactly
been sitting around
my
for
point.
A long time.
Again, the legislation that's changed America more than anything else in the last 10 years, just not been read by the guys who voted on it. So looking at some things of spiritual interest, Medjugorje is one of the world's most popular sites for seekers. You know, 30 million people visit that.
I'd say Medjugorje. Many of them are Catholics because it is traditionally.
Right, a Roman Catholic type thing. 30 million pilgrims have visited over the last 30 years or so. I interviewed, when we were in Colombia, some folks who were part of a study group devoted to Medjugorje. And you know, I don't know that I did the right thing by introducing it, by conducting that interview and promoting the guy who came to speak about the
Well,
the group.
As I recall, you didn't really promote it, but you did have them on, and they got to have you really were fair and balanced. I mean, if someone has a different point of view spiritually than you and I do, it doesn't mean that we're not going to listen to them. We will disagree with them mm-hmm. if we do find that what they have to say, frankly, is ate up. You know, we will kindly say to them, well, don't quite agree with your police work there.
Yeah.
But you did have them on. They did get to say what they had to, why they believed that it was an important place and a healing place.
Yeah.
And for all I know, the people that go there, some of them truly do find healing. You know, the Lord works in ways that are beyond my understanding. But the Catholic Church doesn't recognize it.
Doesn't recognize it. And some of the visions that people have reported seeing there sound more like UFO encounters than they do encounters with messengers of God.
Which is similar to the Fatima sightings.
Yeah,
some of that information.
Exactly. Well, the reason we bring up Medjugorje is because Pope Benedict has defrocked the spiritual director of the six people who first saw these visions at Medjugorje, Father Tomislav Vlasic. He was, and I guess the term is laicized. He's been made a member of the laity. He's no longer a priest. He was suspended about a year ago under allegations that he exaggerated the visions, but also that he had relations with a nun. And so for those reasons, Pope Benedict has unfrocked him, and he is no longer a priest. I would just say, if you've done any reading or study on Medjugorje, or if you do read about it, just remember that God does not contradict himself. And if the messages reported by those who hear voices or see things at Medjugorje contradict what's in Scripture, then those things are wrong.
Well, they are. And while we're talking about that, I do want to, I know we're coming up on close to 19 minutes already. I want to discuss the movie that you and I talked about last night. I posted a review at watchermagazine.com. We watched Knowing last night.
Right.
A movie that was directed by, is it Alex Proyas?
Alex Proyas.
We love Dark City. It is such a fascinating film, but it's got a similar message that essentially we all become gods and aliens are the ones who are in control.
Right.
Knowing has that same similar message, but the reason the reason I bring up that in context with Medjugorje is because there are parts of it, the parts of the theme that relate to that sort of visionary, hearing voices, sort of sightings. Mm-hmm. In fact, the little girl who's in the beginning, if you've seen Knowing, the little girl named Lucinda mm-hmm. looks a lot like Sister Lucia's cousin, Jacinta. I've got a picture posted at the review. I mean, they could almost be twins.
It is creepy.
They look so much alike.
Yeah, and it's another movie that it just feeds the meme that we've been getting for years and years, that good aliens will come to save us.
Mm-hmm. That the Earth it's almost this idea that the Christians almost have it right. Mm-hmm. We're just not quite interpreting what's in the Bible correctly. Ezekiel's wheel isn't what we quite think it is.
Right.
And those visions that John had, well, they're close, but not quite right. And if you really understood the rapture is even pictured in this movie. Mm-hmm. We highly recommend you watch Knowing and just, you know, let us know what you think of it.
It's a well-directed film. Alex Proyas is a very skilled director. And, of course, Nicolas Cage is always worth watching, even mm-hmm. in bad films. Dark City was before the Tim Burton Batman films, but it...
Was it?
Yes.
I hadn't realized that.
And the look that he created in Dark City was emulated by a number of directors. And it's sort of that steampunk look where it combines elements of now or the future with mm-hmm. elements of the past, like, you know, a 1940s and 50s look. And again, a very dark.
Yeah. See elements of that in The Matrix.
Yes, very much so. And Dark City was before those films. And I suggest that was very influential on Tim Burton for sure. And I can't think of the names of the brothers who did the Matrix movies, but anyway, they're very definitely very influential. You know what just occurred to me? That Knowing is almost like the anti-Signs.
I have to tell you, that is brilliant, because as we were watching the film, and I watched it again today as I was writing the review, so I would be able to remember some of the lines. The fact that he lives out in the country in mm-hmm. a farmhouse, that some of the scenes, it's almost as if he's trying to recreate Signs.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, the message is different and much, even though the children, well.
We don't want to give too much away. If you haven't seen the movie.
It's not as uplifting, let's say. I was not as uplifted at the end of the film as I was at the end of Signs.
No, well, you saw me. Yeah. I slapped my head.
Yeah, and I was about to do the same thing. I was like, well, couldn't see. Yeah, saw that coming. Well, I just want to toss out one final thing, because, again, this, I think, speaks to the spiritual war in which we're engaged. And it also relates to, you know, hearing voices. And this is a story very disturbing from Dallas, Texas, where police say they found a 3.5-week-old infant mm-hmm. stabbed and decapitated. This took place Sunday. The mother, who's 33, screaming that she had killed her son after the devil told her to do it.
Oh.
Now, I had a personal experience with a woman who went through something very similar up near Chicago, and I don't know if I've told this story on PID Radio before, but when I was working my way through college, I was working as a radio newsman in the Chicago suburbs, and police arrested a woman, and I got in, on the middle of this while they were still pursuing this woman, who had been spotted by an off-duty officer in the restaurant, in a parking lot of a restaurant, taking a 5-inch-long steak knife to her two children, sons, age 5 and 2, in the back seat of the car. She was arrested. The 5-year-old was, well, I believe one of the sons died, but the woman said essentially the same thing, that the devil told her to kill the children. And it's easy to write off people like this and say, well, chemical imbalance, postpartum depression. Apparently this woman was having some family issues. But what if they really are hearing mm-hmm. voices, really did hear voices telling them to do this, sacrifice the children to Molech, perhaps?
Yeah. Demons have been demanding that all along. And that's one of the reasons that the sacrifice that Abraham is made to make mm-hmm. or requested to make, when God says, okay, I'm going to give you a son. Oh, now that I've given you that miracle son, I want you to kill him.
Yeah.
And Abraham wasn't surprised, because it went on all over the place. All of the other gods requested things like this all the time. And yet Abraham did it and believed that this God would be different, that God Jehovah, the Lord of all, the creator, the only eternal being, mm-hmm. he's the one who would be different. And indeed, he was and is. When Abraham got there, he didn't accept the sacrifice. He didn't expect the sacrifice. In fact, he had provided this, a replacement.
Right, right, a picture of what happened in the New Testament when the sacrifice required for our redemption was provided in the form of Jesus Christ. And this is, you know, and that's it right there. I mean, God makes it very clear in the Bible that we're not supposed to shed human blood. Human blood has something special about it. We are, and we're commanded that we are never to shed human blood. And yet, as a species, we seem to have gotten better and better at doing just that throughout the centuries. Which, if nothing else, proves the lie of the New Age belief that we will somehow save ourselves and achieve apotheosis. I think just looking at the trail of blood through human history should be enough to prove that that's not going to happen.
Well, I think the New Agers believe that someone from the outside is going to come in, looking to see how warlike we are. We'll get rid of all the warlike ones, like in Knowing,
right,
and the ones who are worth saving, well, go see the movie and you'll see what we mean.
Well, it's... that's the world in which we live. We're operating behind enemy lines, so it shouldn't come as a surprise to us when we see things like this happening in the world around us. Pray hard. That's all you can do. We welcome your emails, your comments, questions, suggestions, and news tips, things that we might have missed. Send it to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
Join us on Facebook and Twitter and all those, if we're missing, you know, a social networking site. I'm on LinkedIn, too. I mean, I'm all over the place.
You're unstoppable.
I am. Don't even try.
And I thought I had something else to say, but I guess not.
So, I think we're done.
Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and Sam says, woof. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.
cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.